as Andrew, well, first of all, thanks for having me speak to you this afternoon. As Andrew mentioned, I'm an athletic therapist and strength coach with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers Football Club. I'm a graduate of the University of Manitoba, the Bachelor of Exercise and Sports Science with a major in athletic therapy. I'm a certified athletic therapist, certified strength and conditioning specialist through the National Strength and Conditioning Association, and a certified personal trainer through the Canadian Society for Exercise Physiology. So I guess my main message here, and it's kind of been a common theme today, is that there's many different physiological responses that happen in the body due to aging. And whether you are a professional athlete or an aging worker, these changes are going to happen regardless. But a focus I'm going to emphasize on is there is a lot you can do to slow down the onset of some of these changes. Start off with saying that many of the mechanisms of injury that I see on a daily basis are very similar to the injury mechanisms that an aging worker will sustain with a heavy labor-intensive job. So whenever you take in repetitive movements and heavy physical work, there's a much stronger increase for the chance of injury. So as far as similarities are concerned, whether you're a professional athlete or an individual with a labor-intensive job, after the age of 30, you're no longer in your prime. So we talked about the different ages as far as, how do you classify an aging worker? At what age do you start? I'm going to start with the age of 30 based on some of the information I'm going to present. So there's reasons for this. So let's take a look at physiological changes, what's happening in the body. This is some information I've gathered through the National Strength Conditioning Association. After the age of 30, you get a decrease in cross-sectional areas of individual muscles, so the size starts to decrease. You get a decrease in muscle density, an increase in intramuscular fat, so the fat that starts to form within a muscle starts to show an increase after the age of 30. Bones, as mentioned earlier a few times, become fragile with age because of a decrease in bone mineral content. The Canadian Society for Exercise Physiology has a lot of information when it comes to gender and aging, and here's a few interesting points. Some were touched on previously, which kind of shows we're heading in the right direction. The strong decline in strength begins at the age of 40 and progresses at the rate of 12 to 15% per decade. 25 to 40% of muscular strength is lost by the sixth decade. And an interesting factor is women tend to have a higher percentage of loss of strength than men. Main reasons for this is that males, and this is more of a question to do with anatomy, males have a greater number and larger size of muscle fibers. So we talked about back health a little bit earlier and endurance as well as muscular strength. So when it comes to repetition, the amount of times you can do something or sustain a contraction for a certain amount of time is what we'll consider muscle endurance. And this decreases with aging as well. Low back endurance is a large factor when it comes to low back disability. And it's found that back extensor endurance peaks between the ages of 20 and 29, so perhaps not a surprise for everybody, but it's a pretty rapid drop-off after the age of 29. So what else is happening? You get the development of sarcopenia, which is the loss of muscle mass. There's different nervous system changes that take place. Primarily, you get a reduced ability to acquire fast-twitch muscle fibers. For those of you who haven't heard of the different types of muscle fibers, fast twitch, whenever you're doing something that's rapid or explosive, or even just snapping my fingers or moving your fingers rapidly, those are your fast twitch muscle fibers that are working. So when you're just walking and doing locomotor activities like that, and some of your larger muscle groups are working, those are primarily slow twitch muscle fibers that are firing. Now, as far as your balance between fast twitch and slow twitch muscle fibers is concerned, that's genetic. So you're born with a certain potential of fast twitch and slow twitch fibers. You can't take your slow twitch fibers and train them to be fast twitch. However, you can develop your fast twitch fibers. So you can take your fast twitch muscle fibers and develop them as well. So Rapid movements that require a lot of alertness are primarily fast twitch muscle fibers in combination with some slow twitch at the same time. So you get a reduced ability to acquire those fast twitch fibers. So that translates to a slower reaction time. There's different hormonal changes going on in the body. Nutrition has a fairly large factor as well, but I'm going to mostly dwell on physical activity or inactivity. So when we take physical inactivity, sedentary living, so people who don't do very much, in other words, produces losses in functional capacity at least as great as the effects of aging. So you take the normal effects of aging or some of the common factors I mentioned on this previous slide here. Now if you add in a sedentary lifestyle, everything is just going to compound onto that. So a decrease in musculoskeletal fitness with an increase in age is not solely due to age itself, but due to physical inactivity under chronic disease. So do all these changes of getting old and these normal changes have to happen? And research is showing that that's not necessarily the case. Moderate resistance training provides a safe way to increase protein synthesis, so muscle building and retention, and excuse me, to slow the what we call normal loss of muscle mass and strength with aging. So this normal process, or what we're starting to use as a bit of an excuse, there's a lot that we can do with that. And my focus here is going to mostly do with resistance training and strength. So strength training can offset the loss in muscular strength and muscle mass associated with aging. Aging does not appear to enhance or reduce the ability of the musculoskeletal system to adapt to resistance training. So what this means is you can be 26 years old, 46 years old, 86 years old. Those three individuals can start a resistance training program, put a stress on their body, put their bodies through a progressive overload. Their bodies are going to adapt to that load, and they'll get an increase in strength. So your ability to get strength gains does not stop at a particular age. You can, an 86-year-old can have strength gains just like a 26-year-old can as well. So that adaptation continues on throughout your life. Significant improvement in muscle strength, muscle mass, bone mineral density, and functional capabilities have been observed in studies with older people who participate in resistance training programs. So the information is definitely out there. And then to go along with that last comment, a high degree of trainability exists among older men and women, so you can get positive changes really regardless of your age. So what does this come down to? Strength training, or strength and conditioning, I should really emphasize on. Get an improvement in overall health. Can improve your bone health and decrease the risk of falling through a number of other changes that come with that. And improve the body's ability to recover from physically demanding work. So is there an application here to the workforce? Making sure that workers are performing tasks properly is one thing, but are they in appropriate physical condition to perform the tasks in the first place, which I think relates to one of the questions that one individual asked earlier on. And if so, are they maintaining that condition? So now we're talking about maintenance. And I think to understand that, we need to look at health and fitness and kind of separate the two. Health used to be defined as free of disease. So if you were free of disease, you were healthy, and that's kind of gone by the wayside. Health now has physical, mental, and social factors taken into consideration. Fitness, their attributes relate to how well one performs physical activity. Often performance-oriented goals come into play. The idea of engaging in strength conditioning exercises for reasons other than health was thought to only be used by athletes. So we've kind of termed another type of athlete, and that's the industrial athlete. It's interesting, I've gone into different workplaces where the jobs have been fairly intense as far as the labor conditions. I've done different presentations, and it's interesting to talk to these individuals about exercise, see what their opinions are on exercise, and how often do you hear the answer, well, why do I have to exercise? My job is, look at what I have to do for my job. My job is physically demanding. Well, if you look at it from that attitude, what that individual is doing is they're taxing their system. So in the way that's detraining, or you take my like my father, for example, who's a retired mechanic, who's, you know, a do-it-yourselfer in all his building or getting into something else. And when you talk about exercise, you know, have you been exercising on a regular basis? Oh, yeah, I was doing this project here, and I built that, and I built this. Really, it's another stress on your body, and you need to train to be able to handle those stresses. So I think what we're getting at here is you need to prepare your body to do some of these tasks. Now, that depends what your tasks are, of course. So, regular benefits of exercise, some have been touched on earlier. You get benefits of increasing your basal metabolic rate, so how your body burns calories, increasing bone density, and also increasing your strength. And once again, that's part of a shift to, preparing for work, and the industrial athlete needs to prepare for their job. So, what I would like to see is implementation of some common fitness components, such as individuals warming up and getting their bodies ready to do their tasks. So warm-up and flexibility come into play. When I say warm-up, I'm talking about just taking 5 to 10 minutes to, increasing circulation, so blood flow to working muscles and joints, lubricating the joints in your body, prior to starting a task. Flexibility also comes into play. Tissue is pliable to heat, so stretching a warm muscle will increase the overall range of motion in a joint and aid in muscle recovery as well. I spoke to a worker at a particular job site after one of my presentations. I asked, what do you do to prepare for your job? It's fairly physically demanding. So, I drive to work, I get out of my car, and I go do my job. And, I often, during these presentations, I'll refer to these individuals as industrial athletes. And most of the time, they laugh. And then afterwards, explain to them, look at the stress that your body is going under. You are an athlete. Now, of course, it depends on every workforce is different. But certain jobs, these individuals are definitely athletes, and they need to prepare for that. When I make a... I'm not saying that a professional athlete is the exact same to the aging workforce, but it's interesting to compare some similarities and the trends of the professions. So I made a little chart here comparing an athlete to an aging worker. Athletes definitely prepare their bodies for the physically demanding work, where, as I mentioned before, aging workers aren't typically thought of as athletes, or their jobs aren't typically thought of as athletic. Athletes generally have a very high fitness level. Fitness levels vary or may not even be considered for the task at hand with the worker. Athletes have a faster rate of recovery on average due to pre-existing fitness levels, and then you have on the average worker, recovery process would be slower for a given workload. I have younger with a question mark there, just because after I got off the phone with Andrew and he's talking to me about how he kind of want my perspective on this. I have to look at probably professional athletics in the last 10 years. We have individuals on the Blue Bombers now that are hitting 38 years old. We've got one that's 41 years old, and these individuals are involved in some pretty stressful positions on the field of play. Anybody here following the National Hockey League playoffs right now? Okay, well, there's a couple individuals that are 45 years of age. There's a handful of players that are over the age of 40 now playing in the playoffs right now. 10 years ago, that would have been wishful thinking. So I'm seeing a trend of older athletes and athletes being able to play a lot longer than what they used to, similar to how the population now is shifting to older individuals. And many of these athletes are attributing, aside from experience, their physical condition has changed. Athletes need to work harder now as they get older to maintain those same gains. And I'd like to apply that philosophy to the average individual. Excuse me, the average individual as well. So does this mean we need to start getting into fitness testing or different screening methods? It would be nice to identify those that are at higher risk for physical disability related to lower muscular strength. We heard grip strength mentioned a few times today. The Canadian Society for Exercise Physiology has a specific grip strength test. That's where you squeeze a machine and it gives you a number in kilograms. And they set a cutoff score of 21 kilograms, which is the minimum level for an old age grip strength test. They found through studies that individuals with scores close to this value are 8 times the risk of developing muscular strength disabilities. So it's an interesting fact right there. To follow with that, they found that with males, when we get to predictive factors, push-ups and grip strength are the strongest discriminators between high and low health. And with females, they found that grip strength and sit and reach, which is a flexibility test, are the strongest discriminators between high and low health. So they found some differences between male and female there. So I'm not going to get into too much detail as far as training guidelines. In Canada now, they're suggesting that adults should engage in 30 to 60 minutes of moderate intensity activity on most, if not all, days of the week. And when they say moderate intensity, they're talking about brisk walking, dancing. This is the bare minimum now, or what's considered to be the bare minimum for health. And I think it really needs to be tailored to the task that the individual is doing, what kind of job they have. You know, no longer is there a cookbook approach to strength conditioning. So I'm not going to, give a list of exercises and say, the aging worker should be doing this, because I think it depends on the work site. I know, however, that you can go into a particular work site, look at the demands and say, okay, well, these are the demands that are going to be on your body. This is what you should be doing outside of your work to prepare for your job. And just to sum this up, as individuals age, they need to work even harder to slow down the loss of strength. All components of fitness need to be taken into consideration. I mostly just talked about strength and endurance, but flexibility, cardiovascular fitness, which was touched on earlier, and body composition need to be taken into consideration as well. And the term old doesn't need to be used as an excuse anymore. Changes are going to happen in your body, but we do have control over some of those changes. Thanks for your time.